May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As Yahuwah lives, and as my soul lives, I will not forsake thee. If we follow the example of the Shunammite woman, the Lord will do things for us that simply seem impossible right now. The nameless Shunammite woman went to the prophet Elijah for help without hesitation after the death of her son. The first and only place that she went was Elisha. And Elisha brought her son back to life. This evening, we'll see why we should work to be like this great woman. We will see that because Elisha represents the Lord in the Word, this woman's actions teach us how to interact with the Lord in the Word. What a kind and thoughtful woman she was, giving bread to Elisha, giving this man of God a place to stay. Think of the loving state of mind that motivates a person to act like this. Think about the simple act of love represented by giving Elisha bread as often as he passed by, it says. It demonstrates the state of mind that we should try to be in as often as the Lord passes by us in His Word. Whether we are reading the Word ourselves, listening to another read it, or discussing a story from the Word, approaching the Lord in the Word from good, offering Elisha bread, is essential. As the Lord teaches in New Jerusalem and her heavenly doctrine, they who read the Word from love of truth and good are enlightened from it, but not they who read it from the love of fame, gain, or honor, thus from the love of self. They who are in the good of life and thereby in the affection of truth are enlightened. If we can give bread to Elisha, if we can approach the Lord in the Word from good, and the good of love as often as we read it or hear it or think about it, then we will say to the Lord, just like the Shunammite woman said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this man of God is holy, who passes by us continually." When we read the Word with good in our hearts, we will see that this is holy. We will say, just like the woman from Shunem, "I know this man of God is holy." And enlightenment from the Lord through His Word will follow. The Lord explains this process in His second coming, where He says in the Arcana Celestia that when the understanding is enlightened by the divine light, it then perceives that to be true, which is true. It acknowledges it inwardly in itself and as it were sees it. Such is the revelation of those who are in the affection of truth from good when they are reading the Word. And with this acknowledgement, of course, we will make an upper room for the Lord in our home, just like the Shunammite woman did. When we see the holiness of the Lord in the Word, we will prepare a place for Him to stay and invite Him in where He can stay there with us in our minds. We will make a place for the Lord to inhabit our minds. As the Lord teaches in the Arcana, bedchambers denote the interiors of man, namely, what he has thought, what he has purposed, and what he has endeavored to do. If we approach the Lord in the Word with good, with bread for Elijah, the Lord's Word will be present in what we think, and in what we intend, and in what we do. Just as Elisha stayed with the Shunammite woman, the Lord, through the Word, will come to us and turn aside into the upper chamber of our minds and lay there with us. Now, this is where our spiritual life really begins, when the Lord resides with us in the upper chamber of our minds. When we read the Word with love and the Lord and His Word resides in our thoughts, He will help us even when we don't think we need it. In fact, approaching the Lord in the Word, like the Shunammite woman, allows the Lord to help us, especially when we don't think we need it, in ways we cannot imagine. By doing the basics, by offering bread to Elisha every time we see him and making a room for him in the upper chamber, we will be in a position to be helped by the Lord in ways we simply cannot foresee. And just as the Shunammite woman refused Elisha's offer for recompense, explaining she was perfectly comfortable, it says, in the midst of her own people, the Lord knows what we are ready for and when we are ready for it, even though we do not. Even though we might say we are perfectly comfortable exactly where we are, he knows when we are ready to have a son, even if we don't think it's possible. Think of all the times this happened in the Word. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac when they thought it was impossible. Elkanah and Hannah had Samuel. Manoah and his wife had Samson. Zechariah and Elizabeth had John the Baptist. And of course, we can think of the Virgin Mary herself. They all knew that what had happened was the Lord's doing because it just wouldn't have been possible any other way. Once we invite the Lord to stay in the upper chambers of our mind, amazing things will begin to happen. He will help us see his presence in the Word and all around us in more and more interior ways. But our reaction to newly seen truths when we are comfortable where we are can be like this woman. Remember, she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to thy handmaid." When we think we have a handle on things, if we have invited the Lord in, he will show us that there is more. Maybe we're satisfied with our understanding of divine providence, for example. Maybe we think we're getting a pretty good idea of how the Lord provides for each one of us. But then, because we're reading the Word and reading the heavenly doctrine, we see something we've never seen before. Perhaps the Lord has given us a son in relation to our understanding of divine providence, a new truth related to his continual presence with us through his providence. Perhaps the realization that providence is actually in all things has struck us in a way that has never occurred before. We read in divine providence that the man who has become spiritual by the acknowledgement of God and wise by a rejection of what is his own, a rejection of his proprium, sees the divine providence in the whole world, in all and each of the things in it. When he looks at natural things, he sees it. When he looks at civil matters, he sees it. When he looks at spiritual things, he sees it. He sees it alike in the simultaneous and successive relations of things, in ends, in causes, in effects, in uses, in forms, in things great and small. Realizations like this will happen over and over again to eternity when we invite the Lord into the upper chamber of our minds. But they will happen on the Lord's timeline, not on ours. Only he knows when we are ready. Just as we read in the second book of Kings, the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at that season, according to the time of life that Elisha had spoken unto her. But these new insights, when they occur, will be tested. The truths that the Lord helps us see when we invite him in will be attacked. We can even lose sight of them when they are under attack. Just as we begin to see the presence of the Lord and his divine providence everywhere, in everything, new doubts may come up that challenge this new understanding. Discovering the truth of the Lord's constant presence may then make sense to us only intellectually. Discovering the truth of the Lord's constant presence then may be difficult or even impossible to hold on to when it is first tested. Challenges to our new understanding of the Lord's Word will come up when we put these new truths that we learn to the test of life. This is the boy out with his father in the field with the harvesters. Truths being put to use in life. This is the boy who says, "My head, my head." What do we do when we don't see providence in something that happens? What do we do when the new and wonderful realization seems to disappear in the face of tragedy? This is when we need to remember this great woman from Shunem. Remember her. Remember what she did. It says she went up and laid the boy down in the bed of the man of God. And then she ran to the man of God. She went back to Elisha without hesitation. She ran back to the word. If a new truth we have learned seems to fail when we put it into practice, we need to go back to the word. We need to run there. We need to get down on our knees and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you have shown me something in your word that I didn't see before, but now it doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't even seem to be true. Help me. That's what the Shunammite woman did. It says she came to the man of God, to the mountain, and took hold of his feet. She said, did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, do not mislead me? When we think we understand and are following the Lord's word and things don't go the way that we think they should and doubt arises, the only way to find the peace of heaven is to go back to Elisha, to go back to the Lord in his word. Do you remember the answer that the woman gave her husband when he asked her why she was going back to him? She said, peace. Do you remember the answer when Elisha's servant asked her why she was there to see Elisha? She said, peace. Doubt can lead to peace, but only when it leads us back to the Lord in his word. The Lord explains in the Arcana that there are some who are in doubt before they deny, and there are some who are in doubt before they affirm. They who are in doubt before they deny are they who incline to a life of evil. And when this life carries them away, then insofar as they think of the matters in question, they deny them. But they who are in doubt before they affirm are they who incline to a life of good. And when they suffer themselves to be bent by the Lord, then insofar as they think about these things, so far they affirm. When we have doubts about whether the Lord is really present, providing for us, it is not a peaceful state. But the Lord's word is the only place we will find everlasting peace when we are in this kind of state. These moments when the truth seems to die, these are temptations. These are temptations to reject the Lord and what he has given us in his word. When we invite Elisha in, these temptations will come too. We can expect them. But the Lord will deliver us from evil. In the Arcana, he teaches, temptations are attended with doubt in regard to the Lord's presence and mercy, and also in regard to salvation. The evil spirits who are then with the man and induce the temptation strongly inspire negation. But the good spirits and angels from the Lord in every possible way dispel the state of doubt and keep the man in a state of hope, and at last confirm him in what is affirmative. The result is that a man who is in temptation hangs between what is negative and what is affirmative. One who yields in temptation remains in a state of doubt and falls into what is negative. But one who overcomes is indeed in doubt. But still, if he suffers himself to be lifted up by hope, he stands fast in what is affirmative. As during this conflict, the man seems to urge the Lord, especially by prayers, to be present, to have mercy, to give aid, and to deliver from damnation. The Shunammite woman was upset. Her son was dead. She may have even felt betrayed, but she still went to Elisha and believed in him and had hope, saying, as Yahuwah lives and as thy soul lives, I will not forsake thee. Then Elisha came to the house, and he prayed. And then Something almost too intimate to imagine happened in that house in the upper room. Elisha, the Lord in his word, lay on the child and breathed into his mouth, set his eyes on the eyes of the child, and his hands on the hands of the child. And it says, in the flesh of the child became warm. The truth that had died came back to life. When we go back to the Lord in the Word, knowing that He alone has the answers, He will breathe life back into the truth lying dormant within us. He will help us understand it from His own mouth. He will help us see it from His eyes. And He will help us use it with the power of His hands working through our hands. Then He will say to us, "Take up thy son." And we will come in and fall on His feet and bow ourselves down to the earth and take up our sons and go out. Amen. Please rise. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.